Welcome to the PR Essentials Summit Series, where the experts reveal how to do PR so that you can do it yourself. Hi, welcome to Developing Your Strategic Brand Message. Do you know what your brand's vision is, your message, your meaning? What actions do you want your audience to take? Are you communicating something meaningful to your target audiences? What are your short-term and long-term goals? And what is the impact that you want your brand to have? This is all critical messaging components of building your brand, a brand strategy, and successfully executing PR campaigns as well. So today I brought in Fabian Gerhalter, a brand strategist and creative director of Finian. Fabian has deep expertise in guiding companies through their brand transformations and has written and published international Amazon bestsellers. Now go-to resources for entrepreneurs. I've used it as well, including books, How to Launch a Brand, Bigger Than This, and the Brand Therapy book. So welcome, Fabian. Thank you so much for joining me today at the PR Essentials Summit.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, this is great. I'm so excited. I love having like all different types of people in this because we've been able to get lots of different perspectives on the same thing, startup,
right,
marketing, messaging, PR. So I've interviewed you before, and of course, as a PR professional, like messaging is a big deal for me. But I love the perspective that you come from the brand side, which is a little bit different. So can you start by telling our audience, what is branding? Like, where do you start? What is branding exactly? And, you know, what are they thinking about when they start that process?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, branding, look, a lot of people think about logos when it comes to branding, and that is for sure a component. But really, branding is about, it's really defining what are the shared values with your customer. You know, like what is the purpose of the company? What is the big why behind what you're doing? Because in the end, that is the stuff that has to stick with them, right? And usually, you know, I mean, if you have one, two people shop, you know, a lifestyle business, this is kind of like organic, but once you actually start turning into a brand or you want to start hiring and you turn into a 10, 15, 20, 30 and up, a corporation or company, you really have to put this down in writing. And I do this exercise with one people businesses, and I do this exercise with, you know, tens of thousands of people businesses, right? And it's really, they call it brand strategy, but it's really brand therapy. You know, it's like, that's why my latest book has that title, because right, it's getting it out of you, right? In the end, you as the business owner, as the founder, you know, together with the CMO and whoever you have in your posse in the beginning, right? You have to let that taken out of you, right? And so, you know, one of the biggest exercises that I do, and I'm going to put it on a one page and then I'm going to send you to share with the group. But the most important thing that I think you should do when you start messaging and when you start branding is write a brand positioning statement. It is super, super simple. It's a very simple sentence. You know, you basically identify, this is my audience, this is the category that we're going to fit into, and these are the benefits that we're going to provide. Like, what are we providing our user? And then in the end, the sentence ends with, because. You know, so we do this to these people, and these are the benefits, and usually that's the business plan, and that's where you stop, right? But the messaging and the branding and kind of like the, you know, the brand gold of any company, that happens in that because. So for instance, for Whole Foods, it would be because we believe in Whole Foods, whole people, and a whole planet, right? That's huge. I mean, that's the name, that's their philanthropy, that's their vision, that's who they hire, that's what they have in their store, right? But that because statement is so important. And so to me, branding, this is all part of brand strategy, of really defining, you know, who are we doing this for? What exactly are we doing? What is our purpose? What is our vision? What is our mission? What are our values, et cetera, right? So all of that, that's brand strategy, and that's key, and that's the very beginning. I do this with my clients in person. I used to, I guess, you know, depending on when you watch this, now we're all in quarantine again. You know, now everything is via Zoom, just like you're watching this. But you know, it's like 2-4 hour sessions. So it's like 8 hours.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people can't afford me. I didn't have the time to do this with me. So I created an online version of this as well, which you can do at your convenience. And you can basically with your team, identify your brand strategy. And I think Regina is going to be kind enough to also put that in there. And then you guys could go through that. And of course, what else is branding? Naming, right? I mean, you have to name your company. That is close to messaging. And that's super important. And people can screw it up tremendously, right? I mean, you can name your company in a way where it just goes into kind of like a one way where after 1 year you pivot and suddenly the name is so descriptive of something you're not doing anymore, right? And then what do you do, right? It's huge. I mean, it's extremely expensive. So naming is very important. And, you know, if you don't name anything by the product or by the activity that you have, it needs to be emotional. And when it's emotional, then you need to once again go back to the brand strategy, right?
Right.
And then, of course, it's the logo and the overall brand identity. How does your brand look? And then last but not least, and this is where you are heading with this whole conversation is, and then it comes to the messaging, right? And the messaging is really, it's like when you look at a funnel, right? You know, it's like the brand strategy, the name, the identity and everything. And then in the end, what comes out is a tweet or an Instagram post or, right? Like it's these little things or an email or, but really, you know, the great, great brands in the world, and those are not the big ones, but those are the cool small brands that are coming out, right? You know, it's like the farm girl flowers of the world or the Jenny's ice cream or like the cool, like grassroots brands where it's just so sticky because it's so authentic and it's so thought out, right? Like we're only talking to these people. We only talk about this one thing, you know? And so I think that is just important with messaging to really start from that foundation, right? And then from there on, you can move up.
Yeah. And I think maybe some people like underestimate how important it is. Like you said, like the wrong name can have not evoke any of the feelings. We see all these really cool names of all these different things. I mean, just take Zoom, for example. You know, like it just, I think it's very important. People don't realize. I've run into some startups recently. They're like, oh, we'll just name it. It's not a big deal. And I feel like, wait, maybe it is. So you mentioned something really interesting about stickiness. And so what are some of the best practices when it comes to creating sticky brand messaging?
Well, I mean, stickiness, really, when you think about it, what does it mean? It means that it resonates, right? It means that wherever that message appears, it appears in the right channel for the right people who actually, for whatever reason, deeply care about the stuff that you're putting out, right? And so when you think about traditional advertising and most of the chunk you see on TV and on Netflix in between what you actually want to see, it doesn't work anymore, right? Because it's just top down. It like tells you to buy something. But that's the beauty of social media where suddenly it doesn't do that. Well, it still does that, right? But you know, and now everything is kind of moving again into that direction. But how does it do it? In a totally different way, right? In a way where it is authentic, where it is about, hey, we understand you. We're in this together. And I think with COVID-19, a lot of really interesting things have happened. Some of them are also pretty positive, especially in the marketing and messaging world, right? There's a lot of companies that they had to become real. They had to become authentic because they were forced to become authentic, right? Mm-hmm. You see it in the hospitality industry, right? A lot of the restaurants, a lot of the small mom and pop shops, they would have never talked about them needing money. They would have never talked about what's really going on behind closed doors. And now they do. And now suddenly they started realizing that we're in this together. Us and our audience, we're suddenly, they want to hear that because we're suddenly more human to them. And they actually know who's behind all of this. And now bigger and bigger companies start doing that more and more so, where they are just, you know, like, let's all talk, you know, we're all a community, you know, like, let's be completely, frankly honest. This is what happened to this product. This is why it's delayed. This is where our team of 12 people are working on right now. We're going to give you an update every week, you know, whatever it is it tech? Is it, you know, anything, right? Yeah. People, that transparency sticks. Right. And we see that with the big startup companies from the last couple of years, where with them, it all boils down to, you know, we're different because we stand for one thing and we share that and we're 100% behind this. Right. So that idea of shared values keeps bubbling up as well. Transparency, shared values, purpose. And it's these big buzzwords. Right. And people are like, yeah, what am I going to do with this? Well, it goes back to brand strategy, right? Like if you say, you know, let's say, for instance, could you define what your company stands for one word. Like, our company is about X, right? Is it about empathy? Is it about collaboration? Is it about community? It's every company should be able to identify that, right? You look at Zappos, which has been in the news because of the, you know, horrible passing of Tony Hsieh, right? But then you look at what they were about. They weren't about shoes. They weren't about e-commerce even. They were about delivering happiness, right? So Zappos realized we're about delivering happiness. And so every single thing they do has to be that. Right. So every phone call that they get, every email that they write, every newsletter that comes out, it has to be about happiness. If the customer is not happy, okay, how can we make them happy? You know, what else is going on in the industry that we need to, you know, just scratch out? And it seems like it's difficult to do, but it really isn't. It's something that, you know, if you're really authentically living your brand purpose and your brand DNA, your brand focus, whatever you want to call it, and the whole team is on board. And I think that's important, right? How do you get the whole team on board, right? Yeah. But if you do have the whole team on board, and I've got some thoughts on that too, but if you have the whole team on board, everyone is talking one voice, right? And if it's one voice, it's a brand, right? Like then you start believing in it and you start seeing it over and over. And, you know, there's a certain tonality that only comes from your company.
Well, that's a good point. So, I mean, this is where I'm going off script now, but if you're going to kind of go on with this same idea of brand voice and how do you get, I mean, as a startup, you're hiring fast, firing fast, you're developing your product, you're launching. How do you make sure that everyone is on the same brand page? Like how does everybody have the same voice?
I think that any company can do that, quite frankly, within like 2 half days or maybe less, right? Where it's always my magic formula because I worked like you so much with startups and I know they don't have more time, right? It's like, if you can't do it in one day, that's it, right? And so really, I mean, you know, the first thing is going through a couple of these strategy things. So defining your brand personality, right? Like how should our brand speak, you know, should it be, you know, a leader brand or should it be an empowering brand or, you know, like what is the brand personality? There's something called brand archetypes. You know, anyone can look it up online. They're all pretty standard but do that, figure that out. And then understand your audience, you know, start with first. A lot of startups don't have an audience, right? So they have to literally create a fictitious audience, you know, like, you know, think about the three people that you would really love to have use your product, right? Who are they? Most of the time, they're real people that you actually know. You're like, well, she would really love it and he would really love it. And then, right. You know, or, you know, I'm working with doctors and I know that these are the doctors that are in this place in their career. Where do they live? What do they wear? What brands do they surround themselves with? What is their life, right? Like literally envision yourself. I mean, you can be as silly as and create cardboard figures, you know, like that are like life size of like, here they are. It's about them. It's not about me. Right. And I think that's so important to get yourself out of your thinking, right? Product. And you have to get out and say, no, it's about these three people. Would that resonate with them? You know, whatever we put out there. So that's important. And then, you know, define your tone. How do you want to talk to them? You know, for instance, you might want to be fun, you know, and weird, right? Like you're the fun, weird brand, which is pretty much every startup, right? But then what I advise people to do, don't just say fun. And actually, this is something that I got from MailChimp a long time ago. They had that in their style manual and it's pretty cool. So they basically say, yeah, we're fun and weird, but what are we not? So you always say, you know, we're fun, but we're not childish. Right. You know, or we're weird, but we're not inappropriate. And so the cool thing about that is if you have an intern or, you know, like a junior starting with your company, they have no idea what your brand is about. You just get them started. If you tell them, hey, we're fun and weird, they might do very inappropriate, childish things. Right. But if you say we're fun, but not childish, or we're weird, but not inappropriate, it gives people such good guideposts of like, this is kind of like where we need to fit in. So I think that that's super important. And then, you know, you can do do's and don'ts, right? Like what are some of the do's that the brand should do? You know, like as far as like reposting memes or like, you know, like, or, you know, what are some of the do's and what are some of the don'ts? Mm-hmm. And then last but not least, this is something that I love doing is, you know, you've got word friends and word enemies, right? So what are some words that you would never want the brand to use? Often those are like cliche words in the industry, or, you know, we all have words that we hate and brands have it too, like serendipity or like whatever, like people love to hate certain words.
And is it brand? Next generation.
Yeah. Oh, totally. Next gen 365, right? Like whatever it is, right? It's like, there's something about, well, 360, I guess. 365 is different. But that idea of like, what are some words that you hate? And what are some words that you really love? You know, like if it's about community, if it's about, you know, building, you know, something bigger, what are some of the words? And then you have all of these do's and don'ts and this and that. And then the magic starts where I just say, okay, take the four biggest content creators in the company, which with a startup is easy. It's like two or three people that ever put out content, right? Yeah. Get in a room, have a whiteboard, and start taking all of these things of the do's and don'ts and this and that, and then think about what are the four most crucial pieces of content that your company will deliver. You know, may it be white paper, may it be a blog post, may it be Instagram, you know, may it be Twitter, you know, may it be whatever, right? Like a PowerPoint. And sit down and start writing the first paragraphs of each one of those pieces of content as a group and think about, okay, so now that we know this is our messaging, how do these pieces of content differ, right? Like a PowerPoint might have a slightly different tonality from a tweet, I hope, than from an Instagram post, right? So, and then in the end of that day, if you spend 4 hours as a group, kind of like figuring out how do we create these messages and how are they so well-rounded that they still feel like they're all perfectly part of the brand because they all point up to all these things we learned, like the brand DNA and, you know, like all of these things, then it's pretty easy for everyone to, you know, sing the same song, right? But I think it's like so many things, team exercises are so great, right? Because everyone really leaves with the same idea. Otherwise, it's so hard when you have the social media agency doing one thing, and then like there's the intern doing one thing, and then the CEO writes the tweets, and in the end, it's just like, oh my God, what is going on?
Well, and often we have to explain, like, hey, PR, especially like when it comes to brand voice, social media, PR, marketing, like those all go together. And a lot of people think, oh, well, we have a separate team for that. We have a separate, that's fine, but they all need to come together in the message. So, I mean, I think that's an important lesson to tell people is like, make sure, and it goes back to what you said about creating your, like your mission or your one statement, like make sure everything that you're doing goes back to that one statement.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really important.
And you know, I mean, if you're, you know, every time you write a tweet or every time you write an Instagram or every time you write a piece of content, you just really have to ask yourself, is that just great content? Is it just cool content? Do I just like this out of a spur of a moment? Or is this actually truly us? Does it go back? Would our audience appreciate it? Or am I just personally appreciating it? Right. And I think that, I mean, that's important.
Well, actually, that's one of the kind of questions I have. So that's the next question is, how do you know you've created the right message for you and the audience? Because sometimes, you know, startups, they have their own passion and intensity and excitement. Yeah. And so they get lost in their own message. How do you know if it's right for both you and the audience? And is there a balance between that? Or do you really have to listen to your target audience? Because at the end of the day, you want them to buy whatever you're selling.
Yeah, I think it really depends on the type of brand you are. There are a lot of brands where the person running it, the founder, has such a charisma that everyone basically just sticks to them, right? So they can say literally anything. And people love them for who they are and what they stand for. And their product represents them more so than vice versa, right? And I'm not going to talk about them because they can literally do whatever they want, right? Because people are just going to love them, right? Yeah. And so that's different. But usually, I mean, you will very quickly know if what you put out there resonates with them. Thanks to social media, right? It's like before we were all wondering, right? It's like you send out a brochure or you do this, right? And it seems so old, like that idea that happened. But that happened just like, you know, 10 years ago, you know, 5 years ago, you were still doing certain things where you just had no idea of ROI. With social media, two things happen, right? On the one hand, you can test messages super easily, right? I mean, and emails, right? Which one sticks? Which headline sticks? Well, not only do we now send out the one where the headline sticks, but we also learned, why did they like it more? Oh, this was more direct. Cool. From now on, let's be more direct. Right? It's like simple steps like that. Putting out Instagram messages, which posts do people interact with? And then do they interact with it because of our messaging or is it something else, right? Like, is it because we actually have something to say about our company? Does it relate back to the company? You know, does our messaging in the end actually sell product?
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's a huge...
I mean, in the end, that's what it all comes down to, yeah. Right? But it's so much easier these days to really gauge that, you know, because I mean, when you do a rebranding, when you do a remessaging, you know, what is the before after? You know, like how did things sell?
Another amazing point that I did not have, this is off script again, but I have been working with a lot of companies who are rebranding or pivoting or trying to figure out a new message because of what's happening with the pandemic. Now, I don't know how long this is going to last, but any situation where you have to pivot or you feel like you have to rebrand, when is that signal? What is the signal that says, hey, I should probably rebrand or I need to pivot? What should people be looking for before they do something like that?
Well, I mean, usually it's a pretty clear sign, right? Usually something happens within the company that makes them rebrand, right? Either they lose market share and they're super scared because there are a couple of new kids on the block and they're all, you know, cooler, shinier, smarter than them, right? But they know that they have the right product. So they don't want to pivot the actual product, but they need to really lean into the zeitgeist and lean into the brand and the messaging and kind of like redefine what they're about. That's one sure shot. Right. The other ones are more like mergers, acquisitions, you know, expansion, you know, if you expand from national to international. So usually it's a lot of, or sometimes it's a new CMO coming in or CEO coming in and they just look at it and they say, look, there's so much more that we can do. You know, let's all wake up, you know, and let's really rethink this. So it's kind of like a mixture of the two. What doesn't make sense if people just want to change for the sake of change or for the sake of ego, right? If a CMO comes in and says, hey, I want to leave my stamp. That's not a great reason, you know, but there is a great reason when the world moves on and you haven't, right? And I think the most work that we do with my consultancy is companies that come in and they realize that their brand and their message is not living up to par to the product. So people love the product and they're actually selling and they're growing, but then they look at their brand and the message and they're like, Jesus, we just totally neglected that, which is exciting because it also means that branding and messaging sometimes, you know, sometimes it's okay in the beginning for it not even to be amazing, right? Because if the product is amazing, but at some point you wake up and you're like, oh my God, I leave all of this on the table because our messaging is not up to par.
Right, right. No, that totally makes sense. Yeah, I mean, it's so tricky, I feel like. Also, because a lot of people have been telling me, hey, it's very noisy. You know, we want to do PR. How are we going to get out there? And obviously for us, we are doing the media side of it. It's a little bit different. But for them, they need to come to us with the kind of message that's going to resonate in this very noisy environment, right? Yeah. So a lot of people, I mean, like you said, shiny, younger, better, you know, brighter, whatever the case is, they really have to figure out what their real value is, I think, for the audience.
Well, and it's also being true to yourself, right? You know, I mean, there are a lot of companies that are in the B2B space that are, you know, just in boring spaces, but they can do something super creative in those spaces. And then there are some companies that are in the consumer space and they say, oh my God, we need to do everything everyone else does. You know, like we need to cater to Generation C and, you know, but in reality, we're all going to get older. It's going to be in 2030, the majority of people is going to be older, right? I mean, it's going to be in their 60s. That's an amazing opportunity now, you know, in 10 years from now, you know, like, well, why don't some brands just really focus on them and you know, and that messaging? So I think that it's not all about, hey, what's shiny? And, you know, if people come to you and say, here's our company, but it's really not that exciting, but we need PR. Well, maybe it's time to really think about, you know, like what, you know, what makes the company exciting? You know, it might not be a shiny thing. It might just be that, you know, that it's very purpose-driven, you know, and a lot of companies are purpose-driven. They don't even know, You know, they think purpose has to be writing a big check. You know, no, it's like, you know, people have a purpose to just share information or help others, or, you know, and that could be a simple tool that they developed and they didn't even think it would be purpose driven. But most companies are have a purpose. I mean, if you don't have a purpose, why do you even exist?
I think that's so funny, because also, again, when we talk to people about their angles and like what they should be presenting, sometimes they leave out a lot of things that could be interesting. And I always say, hey, just tell us everything. Even if you think it's not relevant, or even if you think it's like not a big deal, just share it with us, because we might uncover an angle that you weren't even like, you know, thinking of.
Totally.
I think it takes a little bit of work also, because sometimes some of those CEOs and the founders and the messaging people, when it's a startup, you guys are, they're so close to the messaging and the product that they don't see it from like maybe like a 10-foot, 12-foot view, you know?
Well, it's like reading the label from the inside, right? We all know the story. It's impossible. And I think that's why, you know, that's why I created this online, you know, tool for them, because when do they ever sit down and think for 8 hours just about their brand? They never do it. I mean, which founder would ever do that, right? But if they have this focused, you know, program that they can go through, at the end, it's just so amazing, because suddenly everything has a focus. They're like, this is who we are. This is what we're about. Here's our mission. Here's everything. And the whole team is together. And that, I mean, if they bring that to someone like you, you're like, oh, perfect. You know, it's like done.
Perfect. Yeah, that is the perfect recipe for me to like move forward. And also, like, a lot of people here are watching, they're going to be creating their own strategies. So have all those things in place, because when you have a question that comes up, there you go. That's the document that you want to look at, right?
Yeah.
To find the answers, like, you know, how do I approach these people? Well, we already outlined our personas or our cardboard cutouts. We already know what they want. So let's go ahead and answer that question. I think, so I have a lot of questions for you, but, but I guess, what do you think, is the best way? And you kind of touched on this a little bit, when it comes to social media, like going back to that a little bit, because it's so prevalent. One, I mean, a lot of times we have to recommend different social media channels to people. What do you think is the best way to weave your messaging and map it to the right social media? Because you mentioned, like, you got to have a different message for like Twitter and for your website and for Instagram and whatever. If you're on TikTok, who knows? So what is the best way to do that? And how do you figure that out? Do you ask your audience? Do you do it yourself? Like, what is the kind of trick to that?
Well, so, I mean, you do and you don't, right? I mean, it really depends, because sometimes it again depends on the brand. If you're a brand that is basically a personality, you could pretty much do the same stuff on all channels, right? Just have, you know, it's my message of the day, and you give it to everyone anywhere where they are, right? Because the people are the same. They just happen to see it on different platforms, right?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, you saw that most probably in the last couple of months, ever since COVID, you saw that change too. LinkedIn used to be super corporate and super, you know, stiff. And then suddenly Gary Vaynerchuk said, LinkedIn is the new medium. And now suddenly everyone is on LinkedIn, and, you know, and everyone starts sharing, you know, their big life journeys, and they start sharing their political views, and they start, you know, like, here's a baby picture. And you're like, what just happened to LinkedIn? You know? So I think that being so rigid about this is this and this is that, it doesn't necessarily need to be like that. But again, you have to know your audience, right? You have to know if your audience, if you can actually segment them into, here are the LinkedIn and Twitter people, and here are the Instagram and Pinterest people, or whatever, right? Like, can you actually say the visual ones want something different than, you know, than the ones that are a little bit more stiff or corporate, or, you know, they come more from that. You, again, if you know your audience and you follow your audience, and I think I learned that from some amazing entrepreneurs, be a stalker. In the beginning, literally be a stalker. You know, who out of those first 100 people that follow your brand, who are the ones that are actually interacting with your brand? Follow them. I mean, look at them and spend, you know, half an hour per person. Okay, here's that person. Here he or she is on Facebook. Here on LinkedIn. What do they say? Who do they follow? You know, who are they? Who are these people?
Right.
And it's going to be absolutely amazing, because basically audiences create themselves for you. And then you can say, well, since our content works so well with that person on Instagram, you know, is he or she even following us on Facebook or somewhere else? Should we even get rid of some channels, right? You don't need to be everywhere. You know, it's like, you know, if you don't have great content for everywhere, maybe just be on one or two channels and be awesome there, right? There's enough of the new startups that are only on Instagram. They don't even exist anywhere else.
Right.
They don't have a single tweet.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's a good point. That's a really good point. It's just tricky. I think everybody wants to be everywhere. So,
well, yeah, it's like, okay, let's create all of our channels. We're a startup, you know, but just because you have the channels doesn't mean you need to use them either, right? You can be on them and you just don't do anything about it. They're just there like real estate. You're like, good, our brand name is there, but that's it. We don't do anything.
I actually saw this really cool brand. It was like a marketing agency, and on Instagram, all they had was they just did a really nice setup of their branding. And it was like it was their logo and their brand message. And then there was nothing else on there. And I don't think they intend to put anything else on there. They're just like, hey, we're here. And that's
exactly it. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Point taken. We're here and that's it. But really, we're super active on Facebook or we're super active somewhere else. And I think that's great. I mean, I think that's totally fine. I mean, something that, you know, what I do, you know, we're a small consultancy with two people, right? And I create a boatload of content, but you know, I just basically put that everywhere, but I crop things differently, right? Like I actually go through the exercise of, you know, the square doesn't live on Twitter. It's actually going to be a rectangle, but things like that, right? But it's the same content, because I realized that the people that follow me, for instance, you know, they're the same people, you know, they just look in different medium, and then it just needs to look nice in the different medium, you know, and, you know, a couple less emojis on LinkedIn and, you know, so it's a pretty simple formula.
No, absolutely. Totally. That's great advice. Okay. So I know sometimes we talked about pivoting, we talked about that. So, but what about just checking in with your messaging? I mean, I feel like, you know, just as an agency, and I'm sure this happened to you too, like, you know, my brand message was something maybe when we started and then it's evolved a little bit. Like, what is your best practices on evolving your message or just like, you know, checking in to make sure it's still what you want and what it looks like? Obviously, again, it still depends on what kind of company you are. If you're a technology company, you probably don't want a moving target. But if you're like maybe a fitness or an apparel brand, or maybe you're a beauty brand, maybe your audience is changing. I don't know. Like, what do you think is a recommendation on like how often that you should be checking in to make sure everything's like tip top?
Well, I mean, I think it goes back to your books, right? I mean, you see it in your books. Is the needle going upwards or is something wrong, right? So in the end, excuse me, I mean, your company needs to move upwards, and your messaging needs to be up to par with that. So if you suddenly start, if you have a product launch and you know you don't gain huge amounts of followers on social media, then you know you haven't done something right, right? Or if you suddenly product launch and you don't sell much of it, maybe you portrayed the product in the wrong way, right? Or maybe there's an audience problem. You know, in the end, it comes down to all of these things. But I would do a gut check every year. You know, look, we record this.
Cleaning.
Yeah, we record this in December, right? And it's like, you know, and then it's going to be January and everyone's like, new year, new you. And we're all like 2020. Yes, of course. New everything, please. You know, reset. But it's always good. Like, you know, at the beginning of January, companies start planning out the year. They start planning out their revenue goals. And that's also the time where it's like, let's really look at our marketing. Let's look at our messaging. Is this up to par? Have we changed throughout the year? And we just didn't adjust the messaging. It's a good time to do that. So either there's a problem and you know messaging has to do with it and it needs to be fixed, and otherwise it's maintenance. It's like you go to a dentist, right? You go to the dentist for maintenance, for cleanup, or you go when something hurts, right? So those are really the two issues. And
that's a great analogy.
and you know, I mean, the way that we do it is we basically change our messaging every couple of years when we do slight little pivots, right? When suddenly I'm like, okay, we're moving a little bit more into brand transformations rather than, you know, brand creations. And then we kind of like do a redo of everything, right? Like a rewrite and a new line. And that's usually a couple of years. And then everything changes, right? You know, the messaging changes and everything.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. I think it's just nice to be able to kind of checks and balances, right? Making sure that everybody's on the same page. And like you said, there's sometimes very slight pivots that you don't even notice, or like you have like, I just rebranded a company a couple of months ago, and you know, we had to change the logo everywhere, and we had to change, they had one, their tagline, and they'd still do the same exact thing. It was just like a refresh. Like, I think people just felt like it was stale for some reason.
Well, the problem with a brand refresh is that it's, I mean, it even sounds like it's not going anywhere yeah. deep, right? If it's a refresh, it's kind of like, you know, great. You know, I put on a little bit of makeup, you know, yeah. but I'm not a new person. And that's it. It's kind of like painting the pig, right? Is what they say in advertising. Yeah. You know, you can only paint the pig, but it's not going to sell, you know, more, right? And so I think it has to go a little bit deeper. So even if you do a brand refresh, it still needs to go back to, okay, how did our positioning, you know, evolve? You know, how did our purpose evolve? Mm-hmm. And now let's look at the visual part and the tagline. But it's still, I mean, it needs to come from within, because otherwise just a redesign, it's also confusing, right? Because people suddenly see, oh, the company is all new. Nothing changed. Yeah. And they're like, well, wait a minute. Like, it's really confusing. It should be hand in hand with a deeper positioning or a new product, or something needs to happen along that line where people are like, wow, this is really cool. It's really different.
Right. No, that's a very good point. I should have talked to you a couple months ago. But okay. So I think this has been really amazing. Like, I think it's a really good starting point. What do you suggest? How do you suggest brands kind of just like get their feet warm? How do you suggest they kind of get going when they're ready to, I guess, first, when are they ready to figure out what their message is? And then how do they just kind of start the steps of that?
Well, I mean, it's a fine line between brand and marketing, right? And we're yeah. kind of like on the very front of that. And then, you know, like once the clients, you know, we let them fly, right? And we kind of like set them on their own ways. I mean, it's really at birth, right? I mean, at birth of a brand, you need to start figuring out, how do we position our company? What do we stand for? What's our audience? All of that. So it really, the foundational stuff all needs to happen at the very beginning. Okay. And the messaging should be right after that. You know, before, I mean, look, I said that once, and I think it's in one of my books, but you have to know the word before you spread the gospel, right? With right. branding. And that's what branding is, right? Knowing the word before you spread the gospel. So, you know, so all of that needs to be in place so that once you actually say, hello, here is X company, right? Like XYZ, people need to immediately get a feeling. They need to immediately get emotional response. They need yeah. to immediately know, are you the bold guys, or are you the fun guys, or are you the weird ones, right? Like, who are you? Like, it needs to come across super quickly, right? Because it might resonate with Fabian. It might not resonate with Roncini, right? Yeah. Because, and it shouldn't. I mean, if a brand works for both of us, you know, that's very strange, because we come from very different backgrounds. We right. Very different, right. You know what I mean? So, you know, exclude a lot, right. And cater to a few. That's always my big thing with messaging too. It's like, make sure you really know a very, very small audience.
I like that. I like that a lot. Where can people find you?
They can find me at finian.com. That's finian.com, finian.com. I'm very active on Instagram, where they can find me with the same handle. And the course is called Resonate. So at eresonate.com, but Roncini will put a link in there.
I have like a one-sheeter for you guys to download. Yeah. So you'll be able to access it and find Fabian. But thank you so much for joining me today. I think this is very useful for any brands that are getting started. It's very important. All the branding and messaging is as important as Fabian has said. So if you guys need any help, he's here. We're here. If you have any questions, you can always contact us. And again, contact information is located in the worksheets and the downloads. So feel free to do that and reach out. Thank you so much, Fabian.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day. See you guys in the next panel.